From KQED Public Radio, this is the California Report. Good morning, I'm Rachel Miro. A major drug bust at San Diego State University has netted 96 people, 75 of them students. Standing by a table packed with drugs and guns seized during the arrests, law enforcement officials from the U.S. Drug Enforcement Agency on down said they hope this sends a strong message to other schools. Anna Tintakalis reports from KPBS in San Diego.
The investigation began a year ago after a 19-year-old student was found dead in her campus apartment of a drug overdose. Her death led police to a number of drug cells on and off campus. Two of the most active were based out of two fraternities. Using text messaging, dealers sold marijuana, ecstasy, and cocaine. District Attorney David Mosler says drug dealing is not limited to San Diego State.
We've often had issues with people not wanting to take on issues at schools. I dare say that many universities in our country have the same issue and certainly should welcome the presence of law enforcement and local district attorney's offices to eradicate some of the problems and make it a safe learning environment.
More than 130 undercover drug buys were made during the investigation at dormitories, fraternities, and other campus locations. 96 people were arrested. University President Stephen Weber says he's not concerned how this drug bust might affect the university's reputation.
Well, I feel good about it, frankly. I don't know how others are going to feel about our university, but we did the right thing, and we stepped up, and I think, frankly, more universities need to take this sort of proactive action.
The students arrested as part of the sting have all been suspended, and Weber says at least one of the fraternities may be forced to shut down. For the California Report, I'm Anna Tintakalis in San Diego.
New data released by the government following a New York Times investigation reveals 66 immigrants have died in federal custody in the past 4 years, 13 of them in facilities here in California. LA Bureau Chief Rob Schmidt says more.
At a congressional hearing last October, California Congresswoman Zoe Lofgren asked a top official from Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, for a list of illegal immigrants who had died in federal custody. This week, the San Jose Democrat finally received it, but she didn't get it from ICE. She got it from a reporter for the New York Times. Lofgren was incensed.
I think it's absurd. You know, it's once again the Bush administration thumbing their nose at the legislative branch of government, and I would say at the rule of law.
An ICE spokeswoman says the agency wasn't aware of Lofgren's request. The Times journalist had to file a request under the Freedom of Information Act to obtain the list in order to report a story about an immigrant who died a questionable death from injuries sustained at a detention center in New York. The four-page document lists the names of 66 detainees, their birth dates, and where they died. It also lists causes of death, which range from cardiac arrest to complications of AIDS to suicide by hanging. In some cases, no cause of death is listed. For example, the cause of death for a man being held at the Kern County Jail in 2006 is simply listed as unresponsive. This week, Lofgren authored a bill that would force ICE to share data on immigrant deaths in detention. The bill would also set standards for health care in federal detention centers. As of now, a list of medical guidelines is only voluntary, and according to Lofgren, a physician who wants to do something as routine as refer a detainee to a specialist will have problems.
You can't just do that. You have to then call to somebody who's not a physician, who has never seen the patient, to get permission from a bureaucrat in Washington to do what the physician has already decided is necessary. I mean, that's just a recipe for disaster.
ICE spokeswoman Kelly Nantel says medical personnel at the agency's detention centers are able to make their own decisions regarding detainee health.
We have, in fact, pulled our detainees out of a number of facilities that we felt were not maintaining compliance with the detention standards. So we don't view them as voluntary at all.
Nantel says her agency's detention standards are improving. There are several lawsuits pending against ICE nationwide for a lack of medical care at federal detention facilities. For the California Report, I'm Rob Schmitz in Los Angeles.
Vallejo is set to become the largest California city yet to go bankrupt. The city council voted unanimously to declare bankruptcy last night after hours of public comment and years of fruitless negotiations with police, fire, and other unions. Council members said they hope a judge will let Vallejo restructure its financial commitments so the city can climb back into the black. One of the most powerful politicians in state government is about to leave his post. After just over 4 years on the job, Assembly Speaker Fabian Nunez will hand over the reins of the lower house to Democratic Assemblywoman Karen Bass early next week. In his final Capitol press conference as speaker yesterday, Nunez talked about his legacy. Tamara Keith reports.
Outgoing Assembly Speaker Fabian Nunez seemed to soak in the lights, the blinking flashbulbs, and the queries of reporters.
If I could do it all over again, I'd do it all over again, and I'd do it all over again the same way I did it.
Nunez was elected speaker during his first term in the Assembly, allowing him to hold the post longer than any other speaker since the state's term limits law took hold in the mid-1990s. With that extra time, he says he learned the art of compromise and developed a strong relationship with Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger. That relationship yielded legislation Nunez points to when listing his accomplishments.
I promised when I got elected that I would raise the minimum wage. Signed, delivered, and done. That we do something major on the environment. Signed, delivered, and done. That we would reform our health care system as we know it. Not signed, not delivered, not done.
Nunez expressed disappointment that the health care plan he and the governor hammered out couldn't clear the Senate earlier this year. Another failure, Proposition 93, the Nunez-backed initiative that would have modified term limits and allowed him to stay in office longer. He also took heat for overseas travel and extravagant purchases. Political analyst Tony Quinn says he'd give Nunez a C. Still,
he certainly got some things done, and in the era of the post-term limit speakers, he will be looked on probably as one of the better ones.
In his remaining months in the Assembly before being termed out at the end of the year, Nunez plans legislation on green-collar jobs, farm worker rights, and government reform. And what is he doing next year? Nunez isn't sure yet.
You know, it's like we're like a kid that graduates from college is trying to figure out what he's going to do when he grows up. I think that's what I'm trying to figure, what I'm going to try to figure out.
When it was time for the press conference to end, a member of the speaker's staff tried several times to get him to stop taking questions. Finally, Nunez had to be gently tugged from the podium. For the California Report, I'm Tamara Keith in Sacramento.
And finally today, Irvin Robbins, co-founder of the ice cream giant Baskin-Robbins, has died. It was 1945 when he opened his first shop in Glendale and began inventing new flavors for a country then stuck on staples like chocolate, strawberry, and vanilla. Robbins' favorite? Jamocha almond fudge. That's the California Report for Wednesday, May 7th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Myro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the California Endowment, working to build healthier communities that support children, youth, and families. Online at www.calendow.org. And the James Irvine Foundation, expanding opportunity for the people of California and supporting the California Report since its premiere in 1995.